Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here with Dr. Bessie, with mothers and daughters around the world. And it's an awesome, awesome day. It looks like we skipped some of the wintry weather, but don't take that lightly, because so many of our brothers and sisters are suffering out in Texas in the storm, so we just ask everybody just focus some love and energy and prayers and blessings to everybody that's going through water and food and light. I mean, it's just unimaginable. All you can do is just stand and pray that it all resolves real quickly. Not even mentioning the deaths that have occurred. So good morning. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting in with my co-hosts, Cynthia Oliver and Deborah Tyler. And we are going to see what the Lord tells us to tell you today. I'm excited about it. The sun is shining. Deborah, if you could click one, I can get you on. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you doing?
Fletcher, how are you?
I'm good. Speak up just a little bit.
Okay. All is well. How was your week?
Oh, you're going to jump me.
I'm going to jump you this one. I'll put you on the spot this morning. How was your week?
No, you're not. No, how was your week? We're going to follow my format.
Oh, my week was good. It's crazy busy, but it's crazy busy in a good way. I dare not complain. Like you said, you know, we're dealing with so much in the world right now. We think we have something to complain about until you hear or look at the media to see what's really going on. So I dare not complain. I'm busy, but I'm busy. It's all productive busyness with work and just moving to the next level with the Bible, the Mother and Daughter Bible College. All is well. I will not complain.
Very good. Very good. Thank God. We really don't anything to complain about. When it was talking about the lights possibly going off, I said, well, you know, who am I? It happened to the people in Texas, you know, hey, it happens here, we have to deal with it. You know, special
absolutely,
treatment.
Absolutely.
We have to deal with what we have to deal with. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, good morning. How's everybody?
I'm good.
Good.
How was your week?
My week was good. It went by rather fast. Nothing major going on. Just, you know, the regular, you know, week-to-week stuff. So all is well. I'm just glad to see Friday. I mean, y'all, I'll be glad to see Friday because Saturday, my day. Friday is my day. And I just do what I need to do, how I want to do it, as long as I get it done in between, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm glad you said that. I'm sorry.
I was just saying I was just saying it was amazing that you said that, because I remember when I was working for, you know, corporations. Oh man, I live for Friday. I was waiting on Friday to be like, oh, would Friday ever get here? Thursday, you start dancing Friday morning, you're sliding in and sliding out, waiting for Saturday and Sunday so you can yourself and be yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly how that feels. Okay, Cynthia, you have to add something to it?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know what, even though I'm having to work through Saturday and Sunday, I get to do it how I want and when, you know, when I want to do it. And so I decided last night to take some pressure off of me. Audience, if you don't know, I'm still in school as well as Deborah. We still have things to do on the weekend, but we get to be a little bit more relaxed as opposed to trying to get it all in. As long as we get it done, that was the key word that you said, Deborah. That as long as you get it done, and you get to do it your way on the weekend, even though you have things, you have deadlines and stuff we have to keep because of where we are and what we're doing. But you do get to do it your way. And I decided last night to take some pressure off of me, being that I didn't have a due date for an assignment for my own schooling. I was like, you know what, let me just take that pressure off of me. There's not a date there, so let me just do me the way I'm going to do me, and I'm going to go out and play this afternoon in the cold weather. How about that? So just go step out the door and just hang out. Just hang out. Now, Al and I are just going to just hang out this afternoon.
Oh, good. Good. There you go.
I'm working up to that point, but after I'm going to take a break at a certain point. I already set my time, and I'm going to make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, you got a husband. You're supposed to. And I started doing little different things for myself. I keep saying, and I told my daughter this morning, I said, you know what? The one thing, when this is over, you're going to hear from your mother. She's in where? Africa? She's where? I am going to do what I want to do and go where I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, that putting off for what? This make you realize.
Yeah.
You just put off for things that you could do for what? I cannot wait. And I think that I'm going to just, I was telling some individuals that I'm working with on a project. I said, you know what? I think I got some things I need to do in Atlanta. I want to park, March is coming. Clean my RV up. Tell them I'll drive my RV down. And then from there, I'm going to drive it on down to Bradenton, Florida on 75. And I'm just going to do what I need to do. And, you know, it's a project I'm working on that I need to probably do that. I'm just like, yeah, why not? Keep my distance, keep my mask on, dumbass. I live in my RV. I'm not in somebody's house, and I can do that. So I'm just ready to go out and do stuff. My kids, they're out and gone today with their RV. They're going down to the beach. You don't want to go, Mama? No, I got too much work to do, to go down there for that. But we got to live. Talking to one of our board members, she headed out to Hawaii, and that really just kind of like boom in my spirit. Like, oh, go ahead, girl, go ahead.
I love it. I love it. Good job.
Yeah, Hawaii. I'm like on my bucket list. I was like, oh man, I would have felt a little jealous if I didn't know any better. So anyway.
Very
it is good that we're alive, and it's good that we're here to serve, and God's using us for so many different things, like he did with Joy yesterday, Lord. That was the most amazing thing.
Dr. B, I need you to adjust your headset or something. You're cutting in and out.
Can you hear me now? I don't have a headset. I'm talking
I can hear you, but you are cutting in and out.
Okay, let me just, maybe because I'm turning my head, I was doing. With the little boy that Joy found yesterday, it was amazing how God used her to go outside of her home and take a walk. And she said I don't want to go outside and take a walk. I don't want to go outside and take a walk. And the Lord kept telling her, go outside and take a walk. She said, but it's raining, it's drizzling. Go outside and take a walk. And so she said she got an umbrella. She went outside. She sat on the porch for a moment. And her neighbor said, wow, it's unusual to see you sitting out here on the porch, because you know she's always running in and out. And she said she sat there, and the Lord told her, walk around the corner. She walked around the corner. She saw this young man just kind of going back and forth, talking to himself, going back and forth. She said, well, what in the world is he doing? And when she approached him, he was artistic. That was the unique piece about it. And he was lost.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And couldn't find his way back home. And didn't know. He said he didn't have a mama, didn't have a daddy. And so she said, well, who do you live with? He said, I live with my aunt. Someone gave him a key to get in the house. And he normally get in the house and stay in the house from 4 to 6 to his aunt get home. And they gave him the wrong key. He couldn't get in the house, so his routine was broken. You can imagine, right? And since his routine mm-hmm. was broken, he just kind of walked around, you maybe the yard, and probably just kind of kept walking until he couldn't figure out how to get back. And so Joy said, she told him, she said, well, what's your aunt's name? And it was one of those names she said was very unusual, but he knew how to spell her name. He was very smart, and he kept spelling words, and he knew how to spell her name. So he spelled her name, and so she said she got on Facebook, and she looked her up, and she found her. But because she had a private setting, I'm going to let y'all mute because I can hear you moving around. Because she had a private setting, she couldn't send her a message. And finally, she looked on a page. I said, you know, Facebook does have some good. She looked on the page and found someone else that was a part of her friends and called this particular, send this person a text, and the person called her. And then she told him, I have, and gave the little boy's name. And he called her, and she was just like, oh, my God. But Joy said in her spirit, the Lord told her, that evil was trying to attack that little boy, that someone was going to pick him up, and it wasn't going to be good. And the reason he was with his aunt is because he was abused by his parents. So it was greater than just the text. You know what I mean? It was just, Lord have mercy. By the time I called her.
It was obedience.
And I do something, and the Lord said, call Joy. And I was getting ready to text her. He said, no, call her. When I called her, she had broken down into tears, and she was just torn up. She said, when I realized what God had said to me, and if I had not have been obedient to the word, that little boy's life could have been in danger, or something bad could have happened. And it just hit her yesterday. And I told her, I said, well, where we are right now in this movement with God, we got to pay close attention, because we're not in control of ourselves anymore as we think we were. We really got to pay attention, because now we're in discipleship. That means he's going to tell us things, and those things are things that we need to be keen to, and to do it when he tells us to do it. What do you mean you don't want to go outside and walk in the rain or drizzling? What, you know, get your umbrella. What is that? But anyway, I just wanted to share that with the audience this morning. Whenever God feel that nudge in your spirit, even if you say, well, I'm not all that, I'm not that close to God or whatever, he's still talking to you. You feel those nudges, and you get that thing where someone, when you say to yourself, something told me, well, that something is God. Get that. He's always telling you, and you got to know to listen and make those choices, make the right choices. So, ladies, anyway, I'm excited. We got a good thing going on here, and God is moving. Anything, any final words, Cynthia? You want to say something before I go into my state?
No, ma'am. I was just saying the bigger picture about that whole thing is just learning how to be obedient to the Spirit. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to share that. That was the big message right there.
Yeah, Deborah.
We just need to do the prayer.
Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you. You want to do that for us?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you saying thank you. We come to give you praise. We come to praise your holy name. We thank you for speaking to us, for giving us the ability to hear your voice, Lord. Help us to be more keen on that little word, that little soft, soft voice when you speak to us, so we may be obedient to help do whatever your will is. For you know way ahead of time what's going to happen. So just help us be more mindful and listen more and talk less. We thank you for loving us. Right now, Lord, we ask you to use us, that you give us a word, not just for them, for us, Lord. For we need the word first, Lord. Help us to be obedient to that word and help us to do what you call us to do. We thank you for using us. We thank you for all this that you're going to do today, tomorrow, and forever. We thank you for just everything. We just say thank you, Lord. We ask you to be those people in Texas, Lord, that you may comfort their heavy heart, that you may bring them through, and that somebody may know and understand that God is able, and they may surrender their lives through this ordeal, and they will begin to trust in you, Lord, and all they're doing. Lord, help them as you promised, so they may live. Their hope is in you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Yeah. That's the thing. Not there. It's so bad. All you do is pray and ask God to do what he can do, what he knows he can do, make it right. All right, ladies, I'm going to pick you up in a few seconds. Thank you. All righty. Mothers and daughters, the topic this morning is so fitting with what we just kind of hit on a little bit with Deborah and himself. It's so important. Really, it's important. It's key to your life. It's the key to living. It's being able to hear and to respond when God calls your name and asks you to do something. You know, we're so quick to say, oh, Lord, if you ask me, I'll do it. If you tell me, I'll go. If you show me, Lord. And then the minute it show up and it's not what you want it to be, then, you know, oh, nah, Satan get away from me. Because you're thinking, that surely is not God. See, if you feel it in the pits of your belly, right? A lower part of your stomach, you feel this thing, and you feel this voice, and this emotions, and this energy rolling around, and gearing up. That's him. People say, well, how do I know when God's talking to me? You'll know him because you'll feel it. He's around part of your stomach, right up in the navel, right there, you just feel something. And when you're still soft voice speaking from that particular area of your body, it's him. Pay attention to it. Some people say it's intuition. Something told me. I felt something. I didn't know what to do, but I just felt some kind of way. As I was going, just felt like, you don't need to go there. You need to turn around. God is speaking to you, and he speaks to each one of us differently, but yet similarly in the same way. He's going to sound like you talking to yourself. He's not going to come the devil with my voice, or to Deborah, to say with Deborah's voice, because he says what? My sheep will recognize my voice, because my voice is the voice I gave you. Each individual has their own voice, and that's his voice for you. So that's why you can recognize him. Because you have the same voice. you wouldn't recognize someone else's voice inside of you. Think about that. But you'll recognize your own voice. That's why he said, you will recognize my voice. I will not be a stranger to you. It's a familiar voice. It's one you grew up with. It's the one you started talking with. Has been with you from the beginning of creation. It's not a stranger's voice. So now you feel comfortable, but most people are looking for something totally different when they, you know, God's not talking to me. They're looking for some strange voice. They're looking for some strange symbols. They're looking for some sounds that are supposed to come out of the sky and dramatic. So be looking for the big bang until you miss the ting, the symbol. It resonates in your spirit because the vibration lingers and you can feel it from within. Yes. So today, our topic is mothers. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to follow Jesus? People will listen to me, especially clients, because I'm a Christian clinical psychologist. What does that mean? That means that I counsel from the biblical point of view, the Word of God. We look at what the world says about psychology. I don't really deal with a lot of the psychologists and their theories, which it, I'm not saying that they don't have their own place, but that's man. I don't put a lot of into that. It's good to use for an example if you want to. I'm just speaking for me. But when it comes to Christian clinical, you really have to be able to know the world. Is the way God told me, because I am undergrad and master's in just the world, the psychology of the world, really. PhD, clinical, Christian clinical. I have both sides, because that's what he said he wanted me to have. I had to have both sides in order to have a balance, because we cannot always approach people with scripture, because they sometimes will have their already listening on and they don't want to hear that, because they're having a problem with their relationship to God, so they don't hear you. And the whole session can be null and void. So therefore, I have to be able to meet them where they are and gradually allow the Holy Spirit to say things that they know. Oh my God, how did she know that? How did she know that? And they will ask me, how did you know that? Nobody knew that. And I was, the Holy Spirit told me. Now they're interested. It's the Holy Spirit. What do you mean the Holy Spirit told you? That was something I was holding on to that belonged to me. I work with mothers and daughters, and they're amazed if they just continue what the Holy Spirit starts. But it takes about 6 to 8 weeks of sessions, and I'm telling you, supernatural change happens in an hour. But to build on that thing takes 6 to 8 weeks, and major change takes place, permanent change. I'm telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I've been doing for the last 22 years. And thousands of mothers and daughters. So we're talking about following Jesus. What does that mean? Well, why should I have to follow a man? Now, you said you don't believe in following a man. But when you look at Jesus, he wasn't your typical man. He was God. Just like God is in each of us, We can make choices. Jesus decided to make the choice that he's going to let God experience himself to his fullest through him, deliver the message through him, to tell us who we are and our capabilities and who we are with God. That was the only message that we needed to know, and that God loved us. So he had to demonstrate that in so many different ways. And he had the power and authority over ourselves, and that we can heal ourselves. If we just operate in 10% of the power that we have, really, I'm talking about the power. I'm talking about learning something and being able to reason with something using common sense. I'm talking about the supernatural power of God. You wouldn't have a sick day. You wouldn't have a day without anything that you desire, because you would be able to manifest it just simply by thinking about it. He said, I created you in my image. And if I create you in my image, that means what? You can do what I do, even greater things. And Jesus left that message for us. But how many of us believe on that level? We all believe to a certain degree. We all seem like, you know, you think, well, they got it going on. No, just believe a little more in a certain area maybe than you that's manifesting more. But I gave each of you a measure of faith. He didn't say I gave some of you a certain amount and some I gave a certain amount. He said I gave each of you a measure of faith. So we all have the same measure of faith. Are you using your faith? It's how you get what you believe. It's the level in which you believe. But what we have to deal with is that intra conversation, those ongoing conversations in our head that will trick you. That's your enemy right there. Trick you, talk to you. And when you think you got going on, so right there to try to talk you out of it, to steal your faith. Every time you put your faith on something, you, oh, I believe. You better believe something will come up to try to make you think and doubt what you thought you believed without a shadow of a doubt. So, mothers, are you willing to follow Jesus? Jesus was the man that symbolized love. He was the one, says, I didn't come to save the world. He came for humans. He came to deliver a message. God was like, you all don't know how much I love you. You don't know that. I sent Moses. Moses did all that he could do. But then he didn't do it right. I sent Elijah. I sent Abraham. I sent all types of people. I had prophets. I had when Ruth, Esther, you name them, Anna, Hannah. I try to demonstrate to all these humans my message, but it was widespread. Some will believe one, some will believe the other, some won't believe any of them. So what I need is one human being that I can form myself through and deliver the total package through love. And that was the human that he created to come through. And he called himself Jesus the Christ. And he demonstrated that all the way through suffering and taking on everything to show you, I have covered all of your sins. You don't even have to worry about that. I provided for your health. By his stripes, you are healed. You don't have to worry about that. I told you he became poor on that cross, but you become rich. You don't have to worry about that. I came to show you that once you believe and receive, then you're going to have eternal life. You don't have to worry about that. I'm going to wipe away all of your sins, all of your iniquities. All you got to do is come to me and say, repent. Father, forgive me. And I will forgive you. I will forget it. And I will remember it more. Now, come on, somebody. Mother says, it has to get better than that. That's what Jesus was. God came to show you. Fear not. I provided for you. It was in you all along. Why won't you believe me? How many times did Jesus say, verily, verily, I say to you? Why? He always said, why can't you believe me? Why won't you believe me? I tell the truth. I tell you the truth. But yet, ongoing conversation. We refuse to believe. We think we believe. We're begging and crying, carrying on. And, you know, I can only imagine the Father looking at us going, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? Crying, begging. Really? Then you didn't get the message. You didn't get it. You got to come back again. You didn't get it. I was talking to someone this week, a couple people, we had a conversation. And this was a part of his sermon last Monday. And he said that God had told him about, you know, follow, follow, follow. That just kept coming up in the spirit. Follow, follow, follow. And then Monday night when he got ready to preach, his topic was preparing for Monday night. And it came up, but if you will follow me. If you will follow me. And I'm telling you, we had a discussion on this. And that's the first time I really looked at it from a whole different perspective. Pick up your cross. If you will, follow me. And what does follow mean? Follow means to go after. To follow. To walk behind. So the Bible verse is coming from Matthew 16:24. And I like the one where the King James Version says, then said Jesus unto the disciples, he's talking to the disciples now, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So when I was talking with Pastor John, he said what he envisioned, Jesus walking on the beach. And just imagine there's a pile of cross, all, and your cross in the midst of that pile. Now, you got to go through and dig through the cross to find out which one is yours because you had it at birth, but you laid your cross down and it got mixed up in a pile. And he said, can you, if you will, see, that's the key. If you will, pick up your cross and follow me. So just imagine, use your imagination. A moment that you got to go dig in those pile of cross and then you got to find yours. And you say, oh my God, I said, there's mine. It's all the way down at the bottom, of course. But I saw the name Bessie on it. And I pulled my cross out, dust it off. And Jesus is walking down the beach and I got my cross on my back and I'm following him. In the beginning, that cross is very, very heavy because that's all your stuff in your younger years. But as you keep following him, you keep shedding things to the cross. And every once in a while, Jesus brings it to the right and he looks back to see if you're still following him. And he's saying, come on, follow me. The more you follow me, the lighter your cross will get. And if you have some age on you right now, you can see you're not who you were yesterday, a year ago, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. Think about it when your cross is heavy. And now that you're following Christ, every day, if you follow him, just imagine he's walking in front of you wherever you go. And every once in a while, when life gets a little rough, you don't know how you're going to make it through. Just know he's going to turn his head and he's going to look at you. And you're going to shed away. And you keep walking. So mothers, daughters, are you willing to follow Christ? Are you willing to follow him? Because he's ahead of you. But just imagine someone that's not following Christ. Can you imagine how far he is up above on the ocean? He's water. He's walking on the beach. And he's so far gone you can't even see him because you stop following him or you never started. You never picked up your cross. You never set the wheel. But the good news is you can dig that cross. You can find your cross. And you can say to him, I'm willing. And I will follow you. And he'll back up to you. He'll come right back. Journey. He's willing to back up. He's willing to come backwards to get you, to take you, plan for you and your life. But you got to be willing to pick up your cross because there are certain things on your cross that you're going to have to shed in order to follow him into the kingdom because that's where you're headed. All right, Cynthia. Hello?
Steph. Well, you are always in line with how we are to do this thing called follow Christ. And because the first question you have to ask yourself, are you willing? And that's the title. Mothers and daughters, are you willing to follow Jesus? And when you were talking, two scriptures came to mind. I typed it in, but I can't find it right now. I must have
Matthew
deleted 16, it.
24.
24. I think it was Matthew 24.
Matthew 16:24.
Yes, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Yes. And so when I'm looking at that, if the cross reference is Romans 3 says this, for I say, though the grace given unto us to every man, you mentioned that as well. God has given each man the measure of faith. And so it takes faith to follow Christ. And when we don't know him, it's difficult to follow him. And when we fall or fall short, we don't think that we can pick up where we left off and pick up our cross and continue to follow him. But like you said, we're covered. Our weaknesses are covered. When we fall short, it's covered in Christ. Because he was tempted just like we were, or when he was here on earth, he was tempted in every way like we are. But he chose to do what it is that the, and he only did what the Father said. He only went where the Father told him to go, and he only said what the Father told him to say. And so when we are struggling and we have put down our cross, as Dr. Fletcher said, we got to go back and pick up that cross if we are willing to follow Christ. Because if you are not willing to pick up your cross, then you're not willing to follow Christ. And your cross is different than my cross, as Dr. Fletcher said, and my cross is different than Dr. Fletcher's cross. But if we're not willing to pick up that cross when we fall short, then we may or may not continue to follow Christ. As believers, we are strengthened by the grace of Jesus only when we're willing, though. And when we are willing, it shows how much love we have for him. And our love for him is not predicated on us. Our love for him is predicated on what he has done for us, or it should be predicated on what he has done for us. He came to show the way. He's the perfect example of man and humanity. And so, therefore, if you're willing to follow him, he will give us the strength, even in our shortfalls, even when we lay down our cross out of frustration, because life brings a lot of frustration. But how willing are you? How willing are we to pick it back up and keep moving forward? 2 Timothy 3 says this, "Thou therefore endureth hardness." This life is hard. As a good soldier of Christ Jesus, we have to always be willing to pick up our cross if we're going to reach our destiny. We're going somewhere, but where you're going determines what you're willing to do or not willing to do. And here's the great thing about God. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And Christ was a gentleman when he was here. He don't force anybody to do anything. He gives us choices. And if we are not willing to follow him and our shortcomings, we will lay down the cross and we will not pick it back up. Because this life is, there's a lot of difficulties without a shadow of a doubt. But despite our shortcomings in those times of difficulty, we have a choice every day to pick up our cross and get back on the path of following Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to share. Because that determines how much we love him.
Yeah. And I was hearing as she was speaking about putting down the cross, people put down the cross when they feel ashamed and they feel that they snuck out last night and done something they shouldn't have done, and they feel condemned. And of course he sees you. Of course he knows. And of course he know you're playing the game. But that doesn't mean he don't stop loving you. He never, ever stop loving you in the midst. And they put the cross down and they figure, well, I can't. And people stop going to church because everybody's going to know that I'm really going with somebody's husband. You know, I'm condemned, or I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And they don't go to Christ and they get farther and farther. He's still walking. You got to remember, he's still walking. Deborah? Deborah? Anyway, I was going to get Deborah on for you, mothers and daughters out there. I don't know if she's on mute or what. Anyway, back to you, Cynthia. I just feel that, you know, when we get into what we call shame and guilt and hurt, that we tend to move away from God. And he sent Jesus so that we have that buffer, so that we can go to Jesus and he can communicate with us, because he cannot communicate for sin, through sin. So glass that he can see us through, the soul of Christ. And when you're there, you are his presence. He's the connector.
So, Absolutely.
Deborah?
But you know, because, like you said, that shame and that guilt, it can talk you out of returning unto Christ. And the two examples in the Bible of that is Judas and Peter. Peter made his way back to Christ after he fell short, and unfortunately, Judas did not. He took it upon himself that the guilt was so great and the shame was so great that he committed suicide. And how many people every day allow the enemy to talk you out of following Christ, thinking that your sin is so great that God will never forgive you? That's a lie from the enemy. God said there's no big sin or small sin. God forgives us for everything. But here's the key, guys. You can't come and confess and repentance and still be the same and still go back out there and do the same thing. You have to determine that if you're going to follow Christ, you can't be lukewarm. You're either going to follow him or you're not. You're either going to walk and do and say what the Father tells you to do, say and go, or you're going to do what the enemy tells you to do, because you can't continue to play that game and feel good about yourself. At the end of the day, what we're trying to do is feel better about who we are as a person. But when you play in the game, with the enemy don't play fair. He'll make it look good, and he'll talk you out of your faith walk with Christ, because God has given us all the measure of faith according to the word. And so when we're playing with this thing, we're in our greatest struggle. When you got one foot in and one foot out, you're going to fall on one side or the other. You have to determine which way you're going to go. What side of the fence are you going to be on? And even in our shortcomings, when we don't get it quite right, Jesus is standing right there to forgive you. But you can't play that game every time you're doing the same thing. You got to check yourself, because you're going to be in your greatest struggle.
Yeah. Well, you know, I look at it like you have. I've known people to say to me, I'm struggling. I want to stop doing what I'm doing. And I tell God, God, if you help me through this, I'm not going to do it again. And then I find myself right back doing the same thing again. It's like an addiction. Whatever it is an addiction. And therefore, I keep going back. And finally, I've had people say to me, you know, I just stopped playing with God, because until I can get a handle on this, then, you know, cut him loose. I just can't let her go. I just can't, you know, stop doing this drug. It just, you know, I keep saying I'm going to do it, and then I go for a few days, and then it just come back, and I got to have it, and, you know, and I don't want to play with God. And I understand that, because that's something you don't want to do. But don't leave God. Just stay there. God, I need you to take this away from me. I know there was a gentleman that was smoking cigarettes, and I remember the pastor was talking to him, and he said, he asked the pastor, he said, what am I going to do? I can't shake it. I'm going to try all the little patches and the little this and the little that. You know, what am I going to do? And he said, well, just and give it to God and leave it there. Yeah, I done tried. He said, well, that's fine. But just keep going to God and just keep smoking. He said, don't stop smoking. Keep smoking. But every time you smoke a cigarette, God, I give this to you. I need you to help me through this. I'm with you. Every time you smoke a cigarette, and eventually, it wasn't very long, like a couple weeks, the guy came back and said one day he had no need for the cigarette. In the midst, mothers and daughters, whatever you're doing, don't leave God, because you surely are not going to get anything. Not from God if you leave him. Stay there, and every time you do it, you just say, God, I need your help. I need you to take this away from me.
And you keep saying that, and it, eventually you'll find yourself be like erased from your subconsciousness. Let's see, Deborah, you said you unmuted. I don't know what's going on. We're going to have to check this because, let me see.
Well,
hold
another
a minute.
Take on that, Dr. Fleming.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I'm trying to see if I can get Deborah here. Deborah?
I'm here.
Okay. Just one second. What was the take, Cynthia?
Go ahead and give Deborah the time. I've already spoken.
Okay.
If I have time,
okay.
I'll get it at the end.
Okay. Deborah?
Yes.
We're going to have to check your system. What's going on?
I'm not sure. Can you hear me?
I got
you. We can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. I've been here the whole time, and I was waiting with my notes, and I said, W's a lie. We're going to get it in. If I don't get it in until next week, I'm going to get it in. You know, I was thinking about what you said about following Christ, and it was brought to my attention about, you know, having faith in God. I mean, of course, when you come to God, you don't have that faith yet. You don't have that relationship. You don't have that understanding. You're new to this thing. And so God is saying, hey, just read my word, because my word going to be a lamp unto your feet. And it's going to guide you. If, you know, if you don't know what to do, read the word. And the front, it tells you everything that you need to know. If you want faith, if you want healing, if you want to understand, you want proverbs, you want wisdom, it gives you the books and it tells you where to read at. You know, whatever you need to study, you go to the front of the thing and the contents, and it's going to give you some scriptures where to go. And so that's one thing I want to share, because I remember when I first got saved that I didn't know what to do or how to do. I just knew that I said, okay, God, how am I going to do this thing, and don't be sexing all over the place. Come on now. And don't be lying all over the place. Come on. And don't be manipulating. How am I going to do this thing and not do what I know to do? And it was just gradually that he helped me release myself from being in bondage. And I had to just go with him every time I fell. Lord, forgive me. He said, I knew before your mama knew you that you were going to fall on this day. Yeah, I'm not surprised, but I need you to get back up and get back in the race. It ain't over yet. And so every day is opportunity just to come closer to God. Don't look at it like what you got to give up, like I did. Don't, oh, my popularity and my fans and my nothing. Going straight to hell, talking about popular and all these other things. And so God is saying, every day is a day for you to move closer, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to be kind and meek with dealing with people. The first thing you're going to have to learn is how to deal with people. God says, I'm love. I'm not mean to you. I don't talk to you any kind of way. I don't give you my, you know, I don't give you that. I chastise you when I need to, but I am going to be loving and I'm going to forgive you, and I want you to practice that as I do you, you do to others. I'm teaching you how to be with your brother or with your sister, not in the blood, I'm talking about in the fellowship, or your neighbor, or you're on your job, the Christ-like conduct, because people are going to see what you represent and what you display, and that's going to either deter them or it's going to bring them in. So he said, be Christ-like, be like me. Be like me. And you say, well, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Yes, it's hard. He says, with God, all things are possible. So when I say, God, I can't do this Spanish, he said, you're absolutely right. You can't, but I can. And so he gave me a whole other revelation on that thing. And I'm starting to see these things fall in place. And God is saying, if you just trust me, if you just walk in my word, repent when you're wrong. You know when you're wrong. You know when you cussed that lady out, you was wrong. You know when you went around that corner and went to that motel, you was wrong. You know when you talked to your daughter any kind of way, you was wrong. Nobody have to. You don't have to read that in the word. You know in your spirit that was not a nice thing to do, and you're feeling guilty about the other things that you did. And God has said, I just need you to come back, learn from the lesson, and let's move forward. Repent, put it under the blood, and let's learn and move forward. It's a process to walk with God. He said, carry that cross. And sometimes it's going to get heavy. He says, that's why I'm there. I'm in you. I'm beside you. I'm ahead of you. I'm all around you. Whatever, you get weak on the left, I pull you back up from the right. You get weak from the back, I pull you back up to the front. He says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So he's already saying that you got what you need inside of you. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the power of God, you got what you need. Just call on it. Tap into it. Go to that account and withdraw some strength. Go say, okay, Lord, I need to withdraw a whole week of strength. Because I'm going on this journey, and it's going to be a lot of demons, going to be a lot of challenges, going to be a lot of obstacles. I need to draw a week worth of strength. Let me withdraw. Cashier or to the bank teller, I need enough to hold me for a week. And then work on that and let that week, you know what I mean? God said, you'll find your way how to follow Christ. There's no roadmap exactly for each individual to follow identical verbatim. God is saying, if you trust me, when I have that little small voice like you did with Sister Joy told her to take a walk. She didn't want to walk. And there's times that we're not going to want to do what God has called us to do. There's going to be times we're going to want to go, I want to go play basketball, or at least go over there and act like I'm playing, but ain't nobody got no mask on. So I'm wise enough to know not to go over there. So I don't go over there. This is just an example of what I want to do when I want to do it. Is it wise for you to go to the basketball court when ain't nobody got no mask over there? Ain't nobody wearing no nothing, practicing nothing. 30 people over there. And no, it's not wise. So you stay in your house. You know, it's just little stuff. God give you the little unction and say, hey, don't do that. Don't go, don't do that. And you just say, okay, God, my flesh wants to do it, but I'm going to follow my spirit. He said, all things are possible. He said, have faith. He said, when you get on the boat with me, now we own the boat. The Peter and them, they own the boat with Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm a little tired. I'm going to take a nap. So he lays down and he tries to refresh by taking a nap. And here comes Peter. See the wave, see the storm coming, and got discouraged and got afraid because he's seen the boisterous waves and the water and the ocean. He's seen all of that. Now, they're fishermen, so they know this thing was serious. Jesus, can you wake up, Jesus? Do you not know we're finna drown? How you gonna drown with Jesus on the scene? How you gonna die with Jesus on your side? How you gonna lose? He said, there will be weapons that form against you. I mean, they're gonna come against you, but they won't prosper. Jesus on the scene. Do you have Jesus in your boat? He just politely woke up, told the people, you have a little faith, let them know this is where you're slipping at, because I should be able to sleep, because by now you should know that I'm able. God said, just check your track record and look at all the times that I saved you. That should build your faith. Go knowing where he brought you from, knowing how he delivered you, knowing how he spared you from the car accident, how he saved you from getting killed, how he saved you from divorce, and how he saved you from your daughter and relationship. How he said, just look back at your track record and know that I'm able. So Peter and them don't walk him up, messing with his nap. He said, hey, you a little faith. Then he said, hey, peace be still. God said, I'm able, but you got to build your faith. And you build your faith by looking back at all those times you know that somebody was responsible for you not getting what you should have got. All them times I was doing what I was doing, and I said, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. You would have been dead in my grave, under the grave twice, but he spared me from a whole lot of stuff. And so he built my faith by delivering me from some stuff that I didn't even know there was there. And so God is saying, with me, all things are possible. Just follow my word. My word will be a light unto your feet. He said, have faith. With me, I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me. So you got to just know that you're going to be able, you're new at this. If you ain't new, you've been walking with God. God is saying it sometimes that we shouldn't be still drinking milk. We should be eating meat. And so I just want to encourage you to follow Christ. You get into his word, open the book, and say, okay, I want to learn about how to be wise in making decisions. Well, I want to learn about how to have fruit of the spirit, how to be kind to my neighbor, how to be, you know what I'm saying, with the peoples. Read Galatians 5:22. It tells you about the fruit of the spirit. And the longest fruit in there, it says long suffering. Long suffering is the longest word in the fruit of the spirit. Long suffering. Be patient with your daughter. Be patient with your neighbor. Be patient with your husband and your kids and the people on the job. Be patient. Long suffering. He said, that's the fruit. That's a fruit of the spirit, meaning that the spirit is operating you and you having patience with people. So don't give up. Don't be discouraged. God is able. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, we didn't want to miss that part. Well, you know, we brought it to you the way that God placed it on our hearts. We are out of time. I just wanted to make sure they got all of what Deborah had to say, because when the enemy tried to stop you from saying something, it's there for somebody. Somebody heard from her perspective. We all have a different perspective, just like Jesus was from all of us. We all different from each other, and God uses us to express himself in different ways. Thank you, ladies. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, thank you very much. It was a good show. Mothers and Daughters, we'll see you next Saturday at 10 a.m. Tell a friend, join us. Play it back, send it, share it, do whatever you want to do, tag it. It's a message to be heard. Mothers, are you willing to follow Jesus? Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Cynthia. I have a great rest of your day. All right. Love you guys.
All right.
Love you as well. Bye-bye, audience. Love you guys.
Love you too.